Evolution of Man by Dean Blaze. I live on a big round ball. I never do dream. I may fall. And even one day if I do, I'll jump back up and smile back at you. I don't even know where we are. They tell me we're circling a star. I'll take their word, I don't know. But I'm dizzy, so it may be so. I'm riding on a big round ball. I never do dream that I may fall. And even the high may lay low. But when I do, I will be glad to go. Yes, when I do fall, I will be glad to go. Jimmy Buffett, Defying Gravity.
Prelude. Beginnings. A small candle in the window lit the room. The man sat by the table, his feet up upon it, smoking a crumpled cigarette. His gaze was on the ceiling, on a spider web. He carefully aimed and sped the swirling smoke ring up at the spider, who dodged nimbly away. The man chuckled. He got up and stood on a chair, leaning forward to see the spider close up. Its body was the size of a half dollar, and it was covered with a coarse black down. The spider worked its mandibles audibly, slowly backing away from him. The man put his cigarette to his mouth and inhaled deeply. This time, the smoke ring circled neatly around the spider before dissipating. The man grinned. The spider shot venom into the man's eyes and watched him lurch and fall to the floor of screams echoing through the room. The spider chuckled. The man crawled to the window and lifted himself upright. He grabbed the candle, hot wax running onto his fingers. He positioned a chair under the web once more and stood on it. He brought the candle up, but the spider was already scurrying away. His eyes screamed their agony to his brain relentlessly, and he could hardly see. He left a black smoke stain on the ceiling as he got closer to his target. The spider went up in flames instantly, shriveling up and burning as it hit the floor. The man laughed. The man collapsed to the floor. Pain was blocking out his consciousness, engulfing him in darkness. He found himself in a white room, a light breeze in his hair. Around him were women of every nationality, all naked and looking at him expectantly. He spent eternities of pleasure with each of them. They had trays of drugs from pot to mushrooms to ibogaine, which he sampled freely. Food was everywhere. Enormous amounts of native and exotic foods. Erotic foods, too. For he used food on some women also. He found that he could use magic, conjuring more women and wine. He summoned imps to do his bidding. His friends groveled at his feet, and his enemies died beneath his fists. He woke screaming, pain exploding in his face. He focused on the pain. He became one with it and rode the waves of it until it subsided. It was then he realized that he couldn't see. The man screamed. Chapter 1. Plans. It was a hot, muggy Friday night.
the kind of night that sticks your clothes to your skin, and every breath sits heavy in your chest. In other words, a typical August evening down south. Greenville was quiet. Most everybody staying inside in front of the AC. The only people out were teenagers whose hormones were hotter than the temperature. They cruised up and down the streets in their little rich boy cars, consuming large quantities of beer and no-dos. A car pulled into the liquor store, and Bill Dunsany got out. Bill was 25, almost 26. His hairline starting to recede. He went in and bought a can of beer and a 2-liter of strawberry-flavored wine cooler. He got back in his car and passed it back to Dean Blaze, the designated bartender. His girlfriend, Carla, sat next to him wearing a leather jacket and smiling. As they pulled out of the parking lot, Dean passed out the drinks. Bill's girlfriend Tanya and Carla both drank the wine coolers. The radio thumped out Mother's Finest as, drinking and laughing, they drove to Jones Gap. It was their favorite spot in the mountains, and it wasn't too far away. They drove over a small wooden bridge and parked behind a big rock, unseen by any who might drive past. Jones Gap was just that, a gap between two mountains. A small path ran through the gap, and it was this path they followed. They came to a small clearing next to a stream. It was obvious that they had been here before. Hammocks hung between some trees, a fire pit had been dug, and logs were positioned at a comfortable distance around it. Rocks in the stream were set up so that they could keep their beer cold without it being taken away by the current. Music and laughter echoed softly through the trees, along with a warm breeze. "Hey, Bill," Dean said as he turned the radio down. "What say we camp out here tomorrow night, bring some blankets and food, and more beer, and stay here all night?" "Sounds like a plan to me if it doesn't rain," Bill replied eagerly. "Yak, I'm not sleeping on the ground. Bugs and stuff will crawl over me and I'll gross out," Carla said, a disgusted look on her face. "Oh, come on, I'll protect you," Dean said. "No way, no sir, not me, not ever," she replied. "I'm with Carla," Tanya said. "I'd probably puke if a bug crawled on me." Bill had just finished rolling a joint and is lighting up, grimacing as a paper hit bit into his tongue. "No problem. There's a abandoned cabin about a mile up the trail we could sleep in," Bill said in a creaky voice, holding his head in. "Is it safe? I mean, it's not spooky, is it?" Carla asked. "I couldn't sleep if it was spooky." "Nah, it's just a one-room cabin, nothing spooky about that, and it's dry, too." "Bill and I went in once to get out of the rain," Dean replied between tokes of the joint. "Well, if you say so," Carla said, unconvinced. "So it's settled. I'll pick you guys up around 2 o'clock tomorrow so we can get the stuff around," Bill said. "Now, barkeep, it's time for another round." In the trees, a man stood intently listening to the conversation. As Dean pulled beers from the stream, he turned and went quietly through the brush. He reached the cabin swiftly. He knew the way by heart and sat down inside in the dark. "So it seems I'll be receiving company tomorrow evening," the man said to himself, his voice harsh and stiff from disuse. The man smiled. Chapter 2.
preparations and stuff. Bill and Dean packed the cooler carefully. A case of long-neck Budweiser's encased in ice, and 2 2-liter bottles of wine coolers filled it to almost overflowing. Hey, Dean, did you score that weed from Alvis? No, he had to go pick some up. I figured you could go get the girls while I waited. Besides, I'll need to cop some cash from the old man. Hey, I've got lots of cash. There's no need to hassle for that shit. No problem. I haven't seen him for a week, and I need some cash for next week, too. Whatever. Well, I'll be back in about an hour, Bill said, slamming his door and driving off. Dean went back upstairs and called Alvis, his main supplier. Alvis was a short black guy with ever-red eyes, and he had a way of hunching his shoulders and lowering his head when he laughed that would inevitably make you laugh with him, especially when you were stoned. He cursed as he heard a busy signal in his ear. He hung up and heard a car door slam. He looked out the window and saw his father slumping up the steps with a week's worth of laundry in his arms. He opened his door for him and bit back a gasp of pain as his father stepped on his toes on the way in. Didn't figure you'd be home. You're never home unless you want something. So you might as well tell me what it is, his father said, dumping the clothes on the floor and sliding into a chair. Well, you didn't give me any money for groceries last week, or for this week, and I'm going camping tonight, so I won't be home later. How much do you need? 50 or 60 bucks. We're out of just about everything. Oh yeah, your mail is on your bed, and I washed your work shirts, but I didn't iron them. Slight pause with a grunt of thanks. Are you going to Ann's again next week? Dean asked, trying not to sound too eager. I think I'll take a shower and go back over there today, since you're leaving. Can you wash these sometime this week for me? Dad asked, pointing to the mound of clothes. Sure, no problem. His dad got out his wallet and gave him 50 bucks before he turned and went into the bathroom. Dean waited about 5 minutes after he heard the shower start, and then he went into the bathroom. He lifted his father's slacks off the toilet and sat them on the sink. He lifted the lid and started to pee. His father glanced around the curtain briefly with a reminder not to flush. Then he went back to the shower with his eyes on the curtain. Can I run to the store and get a Pepsi? After a muffled yes, he got the car keys from his pants and left the bathroom. He ran down the steps, got into the car, and drove to the automatic teller machine. He memorized the 4-number code while watching his father. He put the card in and withdrew 100 bucks, and raced back home, stopping only for a Pepsi. When he returned, his father was still in the shower. He glanced at the clock. 11 minutes, a new record. He went into the bathroom and started to brush his hair. Where are you going to be camping at? His father asked. Up by Jones Gap, Dean replied as he replaced the card. Just you and Bill? No, Carla and Tanya are coming too. They seem a little skeptical, though. Yeah, well, going out with you two, I can see why, Dad chuckled. You're still a riot, Dad, Dean said sarcastically as he left the bathroom. The phone rang just as Dean turned on the stereo. It was Alvis. Dean walked casually across the apartment complex, lighting a Winston Light 100 and humming a tune. He rapped on the door of Alvis's apartment. Alvis answered with a grin as he ushered Dean in. Oh man, you ain't gonna believe how good this shit is. Hey, where's Bill? He's getting the girls. Fire it up. Let's sample some, Dean said eagerly. Alvis loaded a bong and they took turns toking and choking. 2 hits apiece was all it took. Good shit, man. I'm fucking stoned, said Dean. Yeah, man, me too. Here's your bag, replied Alvis.
He pulled an ounce out and grinned. How much?
$100.
That's fucking highway robbery. Hey man, I gotta get my cut too, Alvis said, his voice rising a bit.
Yeah, you're right. Here you go.
I appreciate it. Hey, you wanna go shoot some ball?
Let's have one more hit first, said Alvis.
Fucking A, said Dean. Alvis laughed, and almost instantly, so did Dean. After they smoked, Dean called Carla and told her to tell Bill to pick him up at the basketball court. Dean's dad honked and waved as he drove past, which made Alvis laugh uncontrollably. So did Dean. Bill got him after about a half hour of basketball, and they drove off.
Does Alvis need any money for that dope? Bill asked.
I took care of it, Dean replied. How much did you get?
An ounce,
Dean said with a big toothy grin.
Holy shit, where'd you get that kind of money?
Bill, Tanya, and Carla asked in surprised unison. Dean was notorious for not having a job or money. They all laughed, and Dean told them of his new record time. Bill said, with pride, Dean, you could worm your way out of any kind of situation, but worm isn't appropriate. So for now on, your new nickname is Penis.
Oh no, I'm dating a penis, Carla said, laughing.
We need to celebrate. Penis, twist one while I stop and get us a six-pack, Bill said, while everyone roared with laughter. The man walked through the cabin, trying to think if he'd forgotten anything. He had taken all of his meager possessions and hidden them some distance from the cabin. After he decided that he hadn't forgotten anything, he left the cabin, walking quietly into the woods. He reached a tree in the front of a big thicket and stopped, turning to his right, counting his steps as he walked in a half circle. When he reached 23, he stopped, and he turned to his left. He walked slowly into the thicket again, counting steps. 2 right, 3 straight, 5 left, 23 straight. He stopped and sat down. He pulled some grubs and ants from his pockets, put them into his mouth and chewed, swallowing with a grimace. All the while, he listened for sounds of the visitors. When the door closed and the room was dark again, except for a faint dusty light from the window falling on the floor, 3 small spiders crawled inside from between some boards. They crawled across the ceiling to the center of the floor and stopped at an elongated black stain above the table. If someone had seen them, they may have thought the spiders were bowing. After a few minutes, one spider dropped down to the table via his web line and crawled under the corner of the table. Another one crawled over and above the door, and a third went to the top of the windowsill. They started webs, mandibles clacking, and dark black hair bristling. Chapter 3. Shit going down! When they got to Jones Gap, Bill drove around behind a big rock. All 4 of them jumped out and started to piss. Small wisps of steam rising from the puddles. They carried their stuff, beer in sleeping bags, and beer, and dope, and munchies to their spot by the stream. Dean put the cooler in a stream, opened it up and grabbed a 2-liter of wine cooler and a couple of beers. He handed a beer to Bill, who was starting the fire. Carla handed him 2 cups, and Dean poured the strawberry blitz for the girls. When the fire was going, they sat around a fire and took some bong hits. They took a log and turned it on end so they could play quarters. They got fairly smashed. Meanwhile, it was still pretty hot. They moved to the hammocks. They had also taken off a few articles of clothing.
Dean had only a pair of soccer shorts, and Carla was only wearing Dean's t-shirt and her panties. Meanwhile, Bill was in his boxers and Tanya was completely nude. Needless to say, the conversation changed from everybody talking to everybody to Bill talking to Tanya and Dean talking to Carla, to only a few moans or squishy noises. Both hammocks were swaying mightily when the first raindrop fell.